This podcast is brought to you by Versity. Versity is an organization that provides blood to hospitals in the Midwest, including Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Ohio. While all of us are familiar with blood donation, we may not know how it really helps people or how safe it is right now. Most of us are focused on managing life in a new world, but there are still people going through medical events who require blood. People undergoing cancer treatments, those with chronic health conditions, or someone having a baby may require blood, and we can help. Donating blood is always safe. Centers are regulated and required to follow medical guidelines that safeguard the donor and staff. Since coronavirus hit, additional standards have been put in place. Also, donating blood is an essential service, so you can go even if you have restrictions in your state. And we need blood. High school and college closures alone deplete donations by 20%, and each of us who donates can save 3 lives with 1 pint of blood. So, in a time where we all need a little hope, reach out and help someone by donating. In Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Ohio, go to versity.org and schedule an appointment. Outside of those areas, go to your local blood bank. Again, that's Versity, VERSITI.org, and schedule your appointment today. This episode of the Mighty Parenting Podcast is sponsored by Inward Bound Mindfulness Education, IBME. Inward Bound Mindfulness Education believes young people deserve our best attention and support. And in order to create that support, they provide in-depth mindfulness programs for teens and young adults, helping them learn awareness, compassion, and concentration practices on retreats and during summer courses. And they have everything online for summer of 2020. IBME's mindfulness practices help with deep listening skills, self-awareness, and communication, essential competencies for success in all areas of life. And now they've expanded their offerings for adults, including a summer course for parents. You can find out about this and more at ibme.com, ibme.com. When you get there on the main page, you'll see a spot where you can enter your email address. Do that so you stay updated on programs and events and find out about new course offerings. Then if you look just above that, a little to the right, there is a beautiful nature photo and it says new courses and offerings, new online courses and offerings. Click that picture and it'll take you straight to what they have so you can see what's happening to help you and your teen this summer.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, stress relief coach, emotional wellness speaker, and host of the Mighty Parenting Podcast, welcoming you to today's episode and reminding you to like, rate, and share the podcast so that we can help more parents on their journey. And today we're going to have an extra special podcast, so definitely share this with another parent you know who could benefit from what you hear today. And today we have 2 special guests with us. We have Charisse Minerva and Corrine Cupola. Charisse and Corrine are both moms and mindfulness experts, and they work with our sponsor, Inward Bound Mindfulness Education, otherwise known as IBME. And they are joining us today to talk about mindfulness. You know, we hear a lot about mindfulness these days. It seems like it's in all the magazines and in the media and on even commercials and things. It's just kind of everywhere. And I know that it's important, and I hear people telling me that we need to be mindful, but I also know that as I talk to people out in the world, that they have different ideas of what mindfulness is, and they have different ways of dealing with it, and I've never really heard a parent say, oh yeah, this is one of my go-to parenting strategies, yet I know that mindfulness can have an enormous impact on our parenting. Well, IBME is an organization that teaches mindfulness. They teach teens the power of mindfulness. They run retreats for teens, which have made a beautiful transition to the virtual space during COVID-19. And that pivot to the virtual space has opened up wonderful opportunities for them to reach out to parents as well as teens. Charisse and Corrine are going to help us today to get a handle on mindfulness, understand how we can use it to be a better parent, as well as what it can do for our teens. And then I think that we can get Charisse to lead us through a practice at the end of the podcast so that we can all actually have that experience today. So Charisse and Corrine, welcome to Mighty Parenting.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
I am too. You know, we've been talking and I have so enjoyed the conversations we've had in preparing for this episode. And I especially loved the stories that you both shared about mindfulness impacting families. And I'm hoping we'll, you know, get to hear a couple of those today. But first, I want to go back and I want to get a little clarity around our thoughts about mindfulness and what exactly that is. So could you start out just like, what is mindfulness?
Right. That is the question of the hour, right, Sandy?
Exactly.
And so I'd love for, you know, Charisse Minerva to jump in as well. But for me, in my personal experience of mindfulness, it's really about being aware of what's happening in the present moment. And then also with this attitude of kindness and curiosity. And to maybe elaborate a little bit on that in terms of my own personal experience, it's like when I'm cooking, I'm cooking. When I'm walking, I'm walking. When I'm folding laundry, I'm folding laundry. When I'm singing, I'm singing, you know, so that I'm fully present with whatever activity it is. I think that there's often this misconception or myth that we have to sit still to be mindful. And really for me, it's about the use of my five senses. So what do I see? What do I hear? What do I feel? Smell, taste, you know, any of those are gateways to the present moment. So we're actually born to be mindful. That's what it means to me.
Charisse Minerva, what does it mean to you? Now that Corrine went through that and said, oh, that's what it means to me, I'm kind of curious what the nuanced difference would be for you. I realize it's not going to be dramatically different, right? Because you guys teach this.
Right.
And there's going to be some central core, but I'm imagining there's going to be a nuance of a difference. So I'd love to hear your expression.
Yeah. And I'd like to actually even back up to something that was said earlier. And I hear this all the time. People say, be mindful. Saying be mindful it's a description of a state of being. However, mindfulness is a practice. I would say mindfulness is a verb. It is a continuing perspective on living that we're seeking to achieve. So there's another myth that, oh, like Corrine was saying, you're going to sit somewhere and be still and be silent and you're going to be relaxed and really wonderful. And that can happen as a side effect. But truly, as Corrine was saying, it's about being aware. So it's about being aware when I'm angry. Oh my gosh. That person has made me so angry, I can feel my hand shaking. I really need to leave this conversation right now. I'll let them know, I'll talk to them later, because I'm aware that I'm angry. Mm. Oh my goodness, the smell of that food is just so rich and delicious. I'm gonna sit here and just really be in this space of right now. What does this smell like? Where is it showing up in my body? Oh my goodness, my mouth is watering. My stomach started growling. I'm really hungry. Yeah. So it can have such super practical application, as you were saying, with the senses. But as we're using those senses And as we do more and more of that practice, we find that we're able to take a little step back from what we are going through. And that allows us not to be buffeted by the winds and the storms of the times we live in.
I so love that you actually used anger as an example, because that's the last thing that any of us would ever think of in terms of a mindfulness practice is, oh, well, when I'm angry. And I think that just kind of drives home what you're trying to teach us. So I really like that. And then that being able to take that step back, that reminds me of the space I talk about when I'm working with people, is it's just that little bit of space that gives us time to respond to our kids instead of react.
Yeah.
Right. And we often use, that's a great example, Sandy. And we often use the Viktor Frankl quote, you know, between the stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space is our freedom. So when we pause, when we see, like, mindfulness, as Charisse was saying, it's like we're having this emotion, and actually the emotion is a combination of the thought that we're having and the physical sensation in the body, right? So we're aware that our, you know, mouth is salivating, or our fists are clenched because of anger. And then because we're able to name it, what's going on, then we can respond, as you were saying, because you have that space.
Yeah, and Corinne, you were even, once we were talking before about how you've used that with your three teenage young adults that you have at home, right?
Amen, yes. So for me, you know, and as you said, Charisse, like, it's a practice. So what we're actually doing is, We're shifting our brains neurologically. We're creating new pathways by having different responses. And so for me, I'm a different parent. I have a 17, 19, and 22-year-old. And I'm a different parent now than I was 5 years ago, than I was 10 years ago. You know, it's really due to the integrations of these practices of, like, okay, what am I feeling right now? I'm noticing this, and then making a different choice. So leaving the room without having to respond, because also no response is a response, you know? And I think often as parents, we feel the urge to correct or teach, or it's our responsibility to make things right. When if we can just create that space for them to be and with their emotions, and for us to be with our emotions, it usually turns out a lot better in the end, because our brain can come back online and we can choose how we want to respond.
I can comment on that. I have a 28-year-old, and, you know, they've done the studies now that teen years last from, like, what, 12 to 27. So I'm just coming out of the teen years. And with my mindfulness practice, I have worked diligently to be present with him when we've had disagreements. And, you know, when you're dealing with a teenager, their hormones and their volatility, because they have so much passion behind what they're believing. And then, of course, it's that adult nature we have of, well, I'm going to let you know what I think, and this is the way it is. And I can feel that nature rising up in me. I've done a lot of work with my practice to recognize it's there, but to have, okay, listen to what he's saying, validate that he's seen and heard. And what I found in doing that is the arguments reduced drastically. I didn't even have to agree with him. It was just that he needed to feel seen and he needed to feel heard. But in order for me to do that, I had to ground myself with my mindfulness practice so I could stay in the room with them. I could listen and I could respect what he had to say. And that's been a huge benefit in my family from my practice. I have to say that.
Well, and that's really something we talk about here, Charisse Minerva. We talk about with our teens and our young adults that what we need to do is we need to just listen, that we need to just be there to sit back. And what you and what Corinne are showing us is that you guys have the method for doing that. I keep talking on Mighty Parenting, and we have guests on, and we've been saying for over 2 years now, these are things that parents that we need to do. We need to let our kids take the reins. We need to let them be in control of their lives as much as is safe and practical. Mm-hmm. We need to let that passion come out of them, but just sit and listen. And that's the kicker, though, is like, how do you take that step back? How do you find that within you, that strength, that it, there's a certain amount of peace in that? Like, how do you find that ability to be there and not do anything? So I want to understand a little bit more about how you help us do that, to find that in ourselves.
I call it wiggling the toes. Wiggling your toes. When I am in a situation where I find myself beginning to be aroused with anger or irritation, I wiggle my toes. The action of moving your attention from your chest and your torso, which is where we carry most of our stress, tight chest, upset stomach, those are those ways that we know this is happening. When you move the focus out of your chest to your feet, and you wiggle your toes, you actually dissipate some of the anxiety. And I always thought that was so interesting. And I was taking a plane ride home, and I happened to sit beside a gentleman who was a Navy SEAL. And he was asking me what mindfulness was, and I'm explaining it to him. And so I told him about wiggling the toes. And he said, "My goodness, that's what we tell people to do too." I was like, oh my gracious. It's used in other forms, that this notion, there's also the other notion, if you put your hands up high above your head in a V, it actually brings you more of an up state. Like before you go into interview, go into the bathroom and raise your hands up over your head a couple of times, that brings a passion and a confidence to you. Interesting how the body is so tied in to the way we express ourselves. We tend to dismiss it, but what we're finding with the mindfulness is it gives you the cues, and it also ways you can use it to dissipate stress, to help you sleep, to help you calm down. So I wiggle my toes and I do deep breathing at the same time, not in a really overt way, so that the person I'm talking to has to see I'm doing that. But I become aware of my breath and I wiggle my toes. And it's amazing what that can do.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful practice to do that. And anything that you can do to ground in terms of like noticing your feet on the floor is a beautiful, beautiful practice. The other thing that is helpful to me in my own personal journey is what I call peace pauses. So during the day, setting, you know, my phone, the alarm every few hours, so that when the alarm goes off, I'm taking, you know, 5 to 10 deep breaths and just noticing my feet on the floor, or noticing even the story that I have going on in my head. So because we do have, you know, 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. And I think another myth is like, oh, we're going to quiet that noise down. What we actually do is we bring attention to it. And instead of us being the dog that chases the bone, right, which the bone would be the thought, we become the lion who's just sitting there and looking at the bone that we might be waving in front of them, but knowing that the person who's waving the bone is more important because they have more bones in their body, right? But they can be the lion, the more statuesque, present person, but really creating more of a habit. So then when I am triggered, which happens a few times a day, you know, that I can remember, okay, how do I want to show up? What is my intention? What are my choices here? You know, And then also the practice of self-compassion has been truly such a gift, because one of the things in the stages of the adolescence is this lack of self-esteem that they go through. Like the elderly and the adolescent are the two stages where we have lower self-esteem in our lives. And so being able to have this sense of I'm okay, and we model that for our children. Like, I'm okay, I'm angry right now, or I'm sad, or however we want to express ourselves, I'm going to go take care of myself and then come back to this conversation. It then gives them permission to feel what they need to feel, because we're modeling for them. And it's so much more of what we do rather than what we say.
And I appreciate that too. It's another core strategy that we talk about here at Mighty Parenting, is that the way we're going to teach our teens and our 20 somethings is by modeling it ourselves. And that's actually one of the things that I find interesting though at IBME is, you know, with, it seems to me that, you know, it's just partly because of the pandemic and you're pivoting that you've been able to do so many more amazing things and create so many more opportunities by going virtual. And you've opened up your space to parents and adults, which I love. But what's really interesting to me was that you guys started with the teens. And so it's almost in reverse, like the teens were having this experience and then going home and modeling it for their parents. So I'd like to hear just a little bit about how you work with the teens and what they think of this. Because I can see a lot of parents out there going, seriously, my teen's not going to do that. There's no way.
That's true. Well, but you know what happens is, teens, we have this thing we do in our culture called adultism, where we do a hierarchy over our teens. Of course, we're responsible for taking care of them and et cetera, but each life is precious on this earth. And we have a tendency to talk down to them. So what happens when we work with teens is they actually are in an environment where not only do they become aware of who they are, even more so, that they are accepted for who they are, and that we actually want to hear what they have to say and consider it wisdom. Now, how many places can a teen go to get that? There just aren't many.
No, sadly, there aren't.
No. That's why teens love our retreat. And in those retreats, they see all kinds of other teens that are different from them, but are also accepted in that same way. So we're actually modeling what a healthy community looks like. Now, of course, there can be points in there. We're introducing new tools and concepts to them. And of course, they're, you know, teens don't like you to like give them any crap, because they'll tell you. They have their meters and they will let you know when you're giving them BS. Let's just say that.
They do. So, we know that. Teens have a great BS meter.
They totally. So that puts us on the spot to be authentic at all times, which means we're always practicing. So you can have teens in the beginning, and it may take some time for them to come around. That's one of the reasons IBME has these wonderful courses. So you can dip your toe in a bit at a time and learn what's going on. But what I'd like to do is, recently a teen sent me a message. She's now in her 20s. And I worked with her from the time I met her when she was just leaving middle school, entering high school. And now she's in her 20s. And if I could, can I read this message that she sent me?
Absolutely. I would love to hear what her experience of this was.
Okay. I am so grateful to have had you as a teacher. The mindfulness skills that you taught me in school have proved so valuable in my life. I recently began practicing meditation again, and it reminded me of the day spent in your classroom practicing mindfulness. I picture myself sitting in silence with my hands on my lap and feet on the ground, listening to the sound of your bowl and occasional drumming. I don't think that I realized at the time how valuable those moments were. So I felt like I needed to reach out to you to express my gratitude now. I also want to express my gratitude for pushing me to do things that I thought were awkward and even embarrassing at school. I had them do walking meditation, which can be a little odd.
Routine in high school, yeah.
Yeah. She continues, "You challenged me by pushing me out of my comfort zone and taught me how to become comfortable with the uncomfortable. That has proved to be such a unique and valuable skill. Thank you so much." So I have had students in my classrooms go on to participate in IBME retreats and have gotten completely hooked. Like, they've gotten introduced. Then you get to go on to a retreat where you have a deeper dive and you live it and you watch the transformation in your own life. It's nobody telling you what it is. It is your own experience. And that, I believe, is why they come back over and over and over. And now they're young adults. So now they're beginning to ask for, can we have some kind of support now as young adults? We want to continue this. We want more of this in our community. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to, I mean, it's such a beautiful, I mean, you know, that testimonial is so beautiful. And like Charisse was saying about the repetition, like often we have, you know, 60 or 70% of our participants are repeaters, you know, are coming back. And I would say, you know, one of the roles that I have in the retreats is to meet with the parents as the teens are closing out the retreat. And I give them a sample of some of the relational activities that we do with them. And I think that is so key. So it's not as if the teens go off and all we're doing is mindfulness all day long. They're doing a lot of interaction with each other, like relating to each other, like learning about mindful listening and being curious and inquisitive and how to communicate so that when they go back home, there's more of an understanding of who they are and they can express their needs in a healthier way. And so it changes the family dynamic and leaves the parents also hungry and interested in knowing more about how the transformation happened, you know, with their child.
Well, and like you said, because it changes the family dynamic and now suddenly we can be closer. Corinne, I think it was you who talked about in one of our conversations that there's this chasm oftentimes between parents and teens. And I'm going to let you explain it because I'm not going to do it as well as you did. Would you mind explaining that chasm to us?
Sure. So one of the things that happens is that, you know, on the last day, parents will, like I said, will join us at the end of the retreat and gather to learn a little bit more. And their faces when they show up are like they embody like anxiety and stress and just like confusion and feeling lost. And what happens is that to affirm them in their parenting, like, I understand and I live, like, even though because I have these practices doesn't mean that I don't have the same feelings that they have when they show up, you know, the anxiety, that ocean of like just misunderstanding and miscommunication and just wanting this, having this desire for connection and not knowing how. And so being able to give them space just in that hour or so that we have with them, that I have with them, or we have together, to help them understand how to listen better and how to be more kind and loving to themselves and hold that space a little bit better. And what happens often is that there'll be emotion that arises, you know, some tears will be shed, and just really a lot of gratitude for the practices and for the time that we do spend together.
Well, and as you said, what we want as parents is we want to have an emotional connection with our kids. And through those teen years, and then as they start moving out of the house in their 20s, it can be scary and it can feel like we're going to lose them. So I think that is such a valuable and powerful thing for parents. And as you guys did this pivot and you mentioned today that you've now, besides the teen retreats, now you have these online courses. And mm-hmm. I loved that. I love that you pivoted. I love that you took it as an opportunity to do even more for families. And those courses, I looked at them and we talked about them, and you're covering so many different and interesting issues, things that maybe our kids are passionate about or we struggle with, because you're covering like climate change, grief, LGBTQIA, activism, nonviolent communication, parenting, and those are just some of them. I mean, you have other things too. But I'm curious why you decided to add these courses rather than just having the retreats, because your online retreats have been so successful. Why these corporate courses and why do them around a topic?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, one of the main things for IBME is creating community. So anytime that there's an opportunity to create community and connection, you know, we're going to do that. And there has been a desire to how do we bring the parents and teens together in a way that feels safe for the teens, because they've had all this like special space to themselves. You know, this is our space. We don't want to retreat with the parents. So this is sort of also a backdoor way. And I think Cherise can probably speak a little bit more to the specificity of the course creation.
Yeah. Right. And also what's happened is, a lot of schools, colleges as well, everything just moved immediately to online. And they've been on the camera on Zoom or Google. I can't remember the Google app.
Google Hangouts.
Yeah. They've been up there since what? March at least. And they're burnt out. They're just burnt out on this traditional way of study. So the topics came up. What are topics that would actually be relevant to teens, and showing how mindfulness in daily application? So Jessica Morey is our educational director, and she went through all of the teachers and she talked to teens, and it was like, what are things that you want to know about? And this way they can come and they're like, most of the courses run 90 minutes. So like I said, you can come and dip your toe in and see what mindfulness is about if you don't know anything about mindfulness. Or if you're a seasoned practitioner, you can go in and do a deep dive in the same course, depending on where your own practice is. And then you can shift around between the different topics. Like you named many of them, some of them about nature. There's one, celebration and restoration for community of color, nonviolent communication, which at this time, if we could find a way for nonviolent communication, but yet at this time that teens are living in, imagine the anxiety of this world that's going on around them. Where can they go with other teens and adults to really express it? And then find some soothing, some healing, without them having to take a week to do it. They can do it working on it bit by bit by bit. And what we've also found out in several of our online courses, because when COVID first hit, IBME did an immediate shift to doing every day, there was a daytime opportunity to sit with other teens in meditation, which was excellent because for many teens, this was their first way of being outside of that isolated space, and they were craving that connection with other people. So then it started happening that not only were the teens there, you'd have the teens and a parent. Then you get a teens and a parent and a sibling. And it started happening. Well, wow, you know, parents and other family members are interested in this too. Let's expand this and open this up. So now we have more programming than we had before to support parents and caregivers. That'll help support the teens that we serve directly, which is our main mission, is with teens, but all these other people support teens. So then you're building a community of support, not only for the teen, but for the parents and the families.
That is beautiful. And this has been great, ladies. Such valuable information. Mighty Parents, you can learn more about IBME and their courses and retreats, even get kids signed up for the summer, because I know a lot of you have asked me about what's going on this summer. There are no camps. What do we do with our children? So you can go to IBME's website. It is the letter B, me. So that is IBME.com. And be sure when you go there on their main page, get on their list so that you can receive information and notifications of new events and programs. And then after you get your email in, go up to the menu and click on their programs and see what they are actually offering right now.
Can I say one more thing about our online retreats and courses?
Please do.
Yeah, because you did. There's a couple of ways to get to this. You can go to the programs, or when you first hit that webpage, right to the right, it has new online retreats and courses. And when you click on that, there's actually three different places you can go. You've got the courses for the summer, you've got the retreats, and you've got the adult courses too, so that the parents can see something for themselves. And it gives you a really nice way to browse through what's going on at IBME. But definitely that new online retreats and courses. We've got like 17 new courses that I'm sure there's something for everybody.
Perfect. Thank you. Charisse?
Yes, dear.
I really would love for you to lead us in a practice. We had talked about possibly doing this, and I think that it would be a beautiful thing, and a lot of parents would love the opportunity to experience it. And then it's also something that I can just put on the website on mightyparenting.com on the sponsor tips page, so they will pull that piece out, and then parents can come back anytime they want to just have those few moments of mindfulness and to get the benefit of this. Would you be willing to do that for us?
Yes, I would love to lead a sit. That's what we call them, sits. And I do want to say, because I like this notion, dispelling this notion that we just have to sit and be quiet and feel good, that what I'm going to do in this meditation is I'm going to play a series of sounds of different bells and percussions. And what you would do is you close your eyes, or you look at the floor, depending on what's most comfortable for you. Some people are not comfortable with their eyes closed. If not, then just keep your eyes cast down so your environment doesn't distract you. And you sit comfortable, not so that you go to sleep though. You sit upright a bit so you can stay alert. Now, what I want you to do is first we're going to do the breathing. I'll get us situated with just calming our breath. And then as we're listening to this soundscape, I want you to notice where you feel it in your body. Sometimes you're going to have bells. Sometimes you're going to have percussions. Sometimes there will be sounds from the environment. Sometimes it'll be a smooth sound, or it may be an abrupt start sound. And when that happens, I want you to pay attention in your body. Where do I feel that? My chest? Does my hand clench? Does my stomach get tight? Because what that's showing you, that this is probably where you carry your stress. This is giving you information about yourself. And that right there is one of the great benefits of mindfulness practice. So I hope you enjoy this sit.
Greetings. Let's begin by finding somewhere to sit, perhaps in a chair or on a cushion, sofa, side of a bed. Sitting relaxed but alert. Don't want to fall asleep. We want to be aware of what's going on in our environment and in our bodies. So let's start by taking 3 deep breaths. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Letting the body return to normal breathing. It may take a little while. When we watch our breath, it begins to be a little abnormal, but after a while it settles in. Bringing our attention to the sounds in our environment. That could be the sounds of the bells on the recording, the sound of my voice. Maybe there are sounds inside the body. The sound of a heartbeat. Sounds in the room. Sounds outside. Sounds can be mellow and soft, and some can be loud and disconcerting. Sounds causing reactions in the body. Feeling the weight of the body as we sit, the connection to the chair or the cushion, the weight bearing down on the earth. The breath nourishing. Each inhale bringing in health. Sometimes, yes, there can be those disquieting moments that cause us to be excited. And what does the body do then? Where do I feel it in my body? In my chest? In my arm? In my stomach? In my head? These are the places we carry stress and tension in our bodies. Learning to breathe into those places, inhaling and exhaling, releasing the tightness, seeping deeper into the floor. Inhale, exhale, inhale. Exhale.